It seems that almost every day there's more in the news about aging well. Better nutrition, positive attitude, social engagement, mindfulness, and of course exercise. None of this is really new information about aging, though it never hurts to be reminded, and new aspects of each of those are frequently reported. However, a recent study sponsored by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, Aging Strong, offers some interesting new research on four types of aging they call ageotypes, specific ways in which certain people age. The series follows up with impressive examples of different people who have faced challenges of aging and share some of their habits. Stanford geneticists are discovering distinct patterns in the ways people age. The next step? Applying these ageotypes to help them age better, by Eric Reed. This article is part of Studio B's Aging Strong series, exploring how individuals from athletes to entrepreneurs have navigated the challenges of aging and the habits that can help others age strong too. Staying healthy isn't just about how old you get. It's about how you get old. That's according to emerging research by Dr. Michael Snyder, a geneticist at Stanford University School of Medicine. Snyder and his team have discovered what he calls the body's ageotypes, specific ways in which certain people age. People with different ageotypes grow differently over the course of their lifetimes, experiencing aging according to distinct patterns. These create, in Snyder's words, very distinct profiles, which can tell someone an enormous amount about how their body will change over time. And perhaps more importantly, these profiles can tell people how to take better care of themselves as they grow older. Four ageotypes. The body ages at different rates, a phenomenon that doctors call biological versus chronological age. Take a chronologically 45-year-old individual, for example, with a biologically 55-year-old liver, but biologically 35-year-old skin. This would mean that although the person had recently celebrated their 45th birthday, their liver more closely resembled that of a median 55-year-old, while their skin resembled that of a median 35-year-old. The effects are often the result of lifestyle choices by the individual. It's how doctors note the aging effect that cigarettes have on a smoker's lungs or effect of weight issues on the heart. However, the ageotype insight is that everyone is also predisposed biologically to aging in different ways. Someone's ageotype defines how they will get older, what parts of their body aging faster or more slowly than others. The way we're thinking about it, said Snyder, it's like a car. You buy a car and it gradually wears out over time, but some parts wear out faster than others, and that's kind of what we think we're measuring here. As of October 2020, Snyder's team has identified four distinct ageotypes: metabolic agers, or people whose immune systems age fastest, immune agers, kidney or nephrotic agers, and liver or hepatic agers. A classic immune ager, for example, might be chronologically 40 with the immune system of a 42-year-old and a metabolism that is biologically 32. This person would likely remain more slender in old age, but would also be increasingly prone to immunocompromise and related conditions over the course of their life. A metabolic ager, on the other hand, might retain a healthy immune system while increasingly struggling with diabetic risk factors and weight as they grow older. And Snyder is quick to point out that research is still ongoing. There will be more than four types, he says, referencing cardiovascular aging in particular as a subject for ongoing study. It's also important to note that individuals can age in multiple different ways and will typically have a combination of ageotypes to varying degrees. A primary nephrotic ager, for example, may also have a partial hepatic ageotype. meaning their kidney functions are likely to age fastest, but their liver may develop a bit faster than the median too. Other individuals may have a mix of ageotypes without a single dominant pattern. It is highly individual, highly specific. In search of a biological youth, like most issues surrounding health, ageotypes are based on a combination of genetic predisposition and lifestyle choices. Knowing this, Snyder hopes to use his research into ageotypes in opposite directions. If behavior can help accelerate aging, it can also help slow the process. The Holy Grail is being able to use this information actionably, he says. What you would do is suggest programs that might improve what people are doing. So if they are a metabolic ager, exercise and food would be the thing. Snyder believes this personalized and proactive approach to health will make a big difference in allowing people to live well longer. Right now, he says, I think the medical system is totally broken. At so many different levels, it's very reactive. We work on people when they are sick, but we really don't focus on keeping people healthy enough. Applying ageotypes to treatment would be a matter of helping people understand what their body needs as it gets older. While the research remains new, an individual's ageotype can be identified by studying the blood samples for molecules produced as a byproduct of bodily functions. Different levels of chemicals can indicate whether, say, the hepatic system has aged more quickly than the metabolic system, or vice versa. Someday, this may enable doctors to create medical and, more often, lifestyle plans to help someone address the way their body is specifically aging. While far from the cure for old age, Snyder hopes that people can stay healthier longer once they can build their life around their body's specific needs. We haven't found the solution, he says. There's no magic pill. I think we've just found the way to measure you in incredible detail. So we can see how you're headed downhill, and that's the first step to trying to stop yourself from heading downhill. Ageotypes may help unlock new ways to treat chronic issues and may allow people to extend their health and vitality longer than treatment currently allows. It is not, however, the long-sought path to eternal youth and energy. On that note, Snyder counsels that nothing can beat the advice that doctors have been giving for generations. Right now, the closest thing we have to a fountain of youth is exercise. The next section of Aging Strong. While some see middle age and beyond as a period of inevitable decline, the truth is more complicated. Getting older can be a chance for discovery and reinvention. It can be an opportunity for sustained excellence or pursuit of entirely new passions. Find out how different people, from athletes to entrepreneurs, have faced the challenges of aging, plus learn the habits that can help you age strong as well. Age-defying athletes share their secrets. Three sports, three athletes with legendary longevity, three life lessons, also by Eric Reed. For many people, age begins to slow things down. They go for fewer runs, climb fewer mountains, and eventually find themselves watching great triumphs more often than celebrating them. This process can feel inevitable, and ultimately it is. But some people push back. They run marathons at 61, and swim the English Channel at 60. They fight for a title after turning 40. They build good habits that don't end when they turn 30. And getting on in years, well, they see that just a chance to push a little harder and find out how long they can stay in the game. First, Joan Benoit Samuelson, 1984, first Women's Olympic Marathon gold medalist. Joan Benoit Samuelson set a Boston Marathon women's course record and American women's marathon record in 1979 at age 21, when she finished the race with a time of 2 hours, 37 minutes, and 15 seconds. In 2019, 40 years later, she ran the Boston Marathon again. Her race time that year, 3 hours, 5 minutes, 18 seconds, only about 30 minutes off from her first run of the course. Samuelson credits her daily lifestyle with much of her long-term success. "My physical health," Samuelson says, "benefits from everything I do." She doesn't just exercise when training. Samuelson stays healthy in the way she spends time with friends and family, taking advantage of the woods and the lakes around her home. She stays healthy through her diet, growing fresh vegetables in her garden whenever possible. Running and fitness are not breaks from Samuelson's daily routine. They are her routine. "I run the way I feel on that day," she says. "My best speed work happens when I paint myself into a corner with time. When all of a sudden I realize I have been somewhere or doing something, and I look at my watch and I say, 'Oh, I've forgotten to get out the door now. I've got to go and run fast.' And then, of course, I always try to squeeze in an extra mile." Next, Patricia Gallant-Charette, 2017 oldest woman to swim the English Channel. For Patricia Gallant-Charette, the journey to Calais began with a loss. When she was 46 years old, Gallant-Charette's brother, Robbie, died of a heart attack. As a memorial, her teenage son decided to swim the open water peaks to Portland, then asked her to join. "At that time, at the age of 46, I considered myself a little too old to be starting a sport," she says, "because most of these top athletes started in their teens and their 20s. The day of the event, she says, "I can remember standing on Peaks Island and I was overwhelmed. There I was, gray-haired, overweight, and I said, 'Pat, what have you gotten yourself into? But you're here as a tribute to Robbie. Just get out there and do this, and it will be the last time you ever do an open water swim.' But as I was swimming across Casco Bay, something clicked. That something stayed, and today Gallant-Charette continues taking on some of open water's toughest elements, facing her fears and setting records. 'I had such a concern on my very first attempt at the English Channel,' she says. 'I tried so hard for that, and I recognized that it might not be successful. I remember thinking, 'Well, how will I react to that? Will I just throw in the towel and never do another marathon swim again?' The decision to try again was made before I even set out on that swim. On her first attempt across the English Channel, Gallant-Charette had to quit due to strong tides. Her second attempt was canceled due to bad weather. On her third attempt, though, Gallant-Charette made it. She crossed the channel in 17 hours and 55 minutes at age 66, setting the then record as the oldest woman in history to make the crossing. For her, the secret to staying strong is no secret at all. She keeps swimming out of sheer power of will. Next, Rodney Toney, 2019 Ring 4 Boxing Hall of Fame inductee, four-time New England regional champion and national title contender. "I used to fight on the streets all the time because I lived in a prejudiced neighborhood," said Toney. "Four black families lived in a 1,000-house project, so it was kind of rough." For Toney, competition is about the head and the heart. While most fighters drop out by their late 20s or early 30s, Toney competed for the national title past his 40th birthday. To him, boxing isn't just a chance to grab 3 minutes of spotlight. It's a connection with his past, a through line that runs from his Hyde Park childhood and his father's own career in the ring. Toney's career began with a flourish when he won the Golden Gloves, an amateur boxing competition. Just 2 weeks after taking up the sport, after knocking down his first opponent, Toney, then a cocky 20-year-old, began to celebrate. "I thought it would be easy to win the Golden Gloves, and I took it lightly," Toney said. "And then, the next round, I almost lost." But he didn't. Toney won his competition, and many more after that, until stepping back to coach 2 decades later. This first lesson, however, has stayed with him. Even today, as Tony coaches up-and-coming boxers, he looks for the spirit someone brings to the ring. It's the heart, really, he says. If they can take a punch, or if they listen afterwards when you tell them that this is what they need to do, if the heart's there. Sometimes the secret is there's no secret at all. Staying physically and mentally fit into middle age and beyond takes a combination of countless factors. Genetics and health play a huge role. Some people are simply predisposed to keep their strength as they get older. Luck matters too. But according to Dr. Brian McKeon, a sports medicine specialist at New England Baptist Hospital, the athletes who carry on year after year tend to have two things in common: psychology and injury. You wonder how this guy can do this and that guy can do that, McKeon says. Part of it is staying healthy. When you get older, you just can't recover from injuries. But, he says, some athletes, as they get older, they really stabilize their emotions. Their psychological skills are just tremendous. The people who stay fit day after day, the ones who never lose sight of their goals and who keep setting new ones, they're the ones who will seem to somehow stay competitive year after year. Because ultimately, there's no somehow about it. You bank those habits, McKeon says, and you're going to reap those rewards. Next, for these bold adventurers, age really is just a number. From getting a master's degree at 50 to starting a business when friends are retiring, they're proving dreams don't have an expiration date. Also by Eric Reed. By societal norms, there is an order to life. You go to school in your teens and early 20s. You get a job in your mid-20s and work steadily until you hit your 60s. Then you retire and ride off into the sunset, perhaps to work on your short game or travel in one of a few lifestyle-approved manners. But as these entrepreneurs and adventurers show, age isn't as all-important as it might seem. Gary Arndt, 51, travel photographer and writer, founder of Everything Everywhere. For Gary Arndt, 51, travel photography is a second career, or maybe a third, or fourth, depending on how you count it. After selling his web development company in the late 1990s, Arndt first decided to use his newfound freedom to sample a handful of new professions. He tried founding a few other companies, and then he thought about going back to school for his PhD. But ultimately, in his mid-30s, Arndt booked a ticket to the South Pacific and launched the blog on which he published his travel photography and writing, Everything Everywhere. Now, in his 50s, Arndt is at the top of a field typically associated with 20-somethings bouncing their way between hostile bunk beds. At least, Arndt says, that's the perception of travel writing. What he quickly discovered was this perception couldn't be further from the truth. For example, Arndt said, he sits on the board of directors of the Society of American Travel Photographers. The society's median age of membership? Around 65. When most people think of travel bloggers, they're probably thinking of Instagram influencers, Arndt says. But when you think of notable names in travel journalism, you're thinking of Rick Steves, who is in his mid-60s, or Arthur Frommer. It takes a lifetime to develop an expertise in travel. You actually have to, well, just go out and do it. Next, George Myers, 57, and Linda Myers, 56, founders of the Relais La Suisse Hotel and Cooking in Tuscany. The Myers spent most of their careers in Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area. Linda Myers worked as a schoolteacher, while George Myers served as a pilot in the U.S. Air Force. Lifelong travelers, the pair described themselves as the kind of people that would just get in the car and drive. Neither knew how far that attitude would take them until they retired and moved to Tuscany. Living in Italy, the couple would give impromptu tours to their friends and family. Walks around town turned into deep dives into the food and culture of their new home. Eventually, the Myerses realized they had the beginning of a cooking school on their hands. Years later, a friend offered to sell them his hotel, too. For them, this career is more than just a second act. They have been building it for years, learning the hospitality business with every informal tour they gave to friends and family. "We've always liked to say we've been doing this our whole life," said George. "When you come to visit us, we want to show you what life is like here in Tuscany, in our little part of the world. We hope you've been able to change your life a little bit. The way you look at things and the way you look at the world. It's become way bigger than I ever dreamed," said Linda, "more important and more special." Next, Rosanna DiGaspari, 50, Boston University student, Master of Science in Criminal Justice. A mother of six, Rosanna DiGaspari didn't have time to pursue the education she wanted as a young woman. At 46, with her children mostly grown, DiGaspari's responsibilities changed. She decided to take the opportunity to go back to school and follow her passion. DiGaspari started with the online bachelor's program at Kaiser University, fitting her schedule around work and family. While there, DiGaspari saw a lecture by Boston University professors Kyung-Sik Choi on cybercrimes against children. It took her back to the abused children that she would see during her years as a Dade County school teacher, and DiGaspari decided she could do something about it. Her mentor wanted her to pursue cybersecurity, DiGaspari said. She said that I'd do quite well. And I looked at her and I said, I don't actually want to do that. I want to go toward the criminal justice part. I feel like there's a need there. I feel like there's a mission to go out there and really help these children. I feel like I have the ability to do so in a different manner. She is currently in her first year of Boston University's Criminal Justice Master's program. For her, returning to school at a later age came with new strength. Back when she was a teacher, she says, it was a little too difficult for me to see what was going on. But now that life has gone on and I'm 50, I feel like I'm ready. I have a thicker skin, so to speak. The determination is there. And finally, Gordon G.R. Fletcher, 55, United States Ranger at Grand Teton National Park. We got the call, and it was a significant injury up high in the mountains, said Gordon Fletcher, a ranger in the U.S. Park Service. We thought it was a significant enough injury that we had to get him out that night, but it was too hazardous to move the guy. So we ended up spending the night with him until the next morning when it was safe enough to fly. This is Fletcher, 55, describing a fairly routine search and rescue operation for him and his team, just another day at the office. Fletcher has served in the Park Service for 13 years. Casual travelers and adventurers alike flock to Grand Teton National Park for both its beauty and its rugged terrain. Yet the cliffs that draw mountain climbers can also spell very real danger for unwary hikers, and the same wilderness that can inspire can also get someone lost in a minute. Every step of the way, Fletcher and his team are there. On a light day, travelers can meet him clearing brush and giving directions. But when someone finds themselves stranded on the top of a mountain or badly injured with no way out, Fletcher grabs his pack and heads out to bring those hikers home. And while the rocks may seem a little steeper than they did 10 years ago, he has spent that time learning these mountains. There's a lot of rockfall potential, Fletcher says. There's a lot of holds that, when you're climbing, you can pull them off. We have a deeper experience of how to travel and what people need as we get more maturity. In these mountains, that knowledge is what counts. And we're going to finish up with one of the biggest myths about aging, also by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, part of the Studio B's Aging Strong series. As a culture, we have ingrained in us some assumptions around aging and what it will mean for us in our future year. And while there's definitely some transitions that occur in the body and mind as we grow older, it's unfair to assume that our quality or value of life decreases with each passing year. In fact, studies show that aging well is possible when aided by a positive attitude, a sense of independence, a purpose in life, and continued social engagement. How about this myth? Aging means the end of cognitive development. Many assume that with age, the time to learn new things has come to an end. In truth, cognitive development continues throughout life, and according to the 2014 NIH study, pursuing new interests that stimulate the brain help improve memory. Keeping your mind active and working on learning new skills as you age helps you to build cognitive reserve, which allows the brain to become more adaptable and potentially compensate for any age-related memory challenges in the future. Consider taking up a new hobby, such as learning a new language, gardening, cooking, photography, or even mindful meditation to stimulate your brain and bring joy to your daily routine. During a recent Mind the Moment session hosted by Harvard Pilgrim Health, mindfulness program manager Tara Healy spoke with special guest Dr. Sarah Lazar, one of the pioneering researchers in exploring the neuroscience of mindfulness, whose lab is based out of Mass General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. Lazar shared insight into how mindfulness could help the aging brain. We're actually just finishing up a study now on older adults. There's been quite a bit of research showing that mindfulness can be useful for promoting cognition. And so, one question we were interested in was, well, can we help slow down normal cognitive decline? Because some of our early evidence suggested that mindfulness might help preserve cognition and brain structure and function with aging. We don't have all of the answers yet, but it's looking promising. The athletes, adventurers, and entrepreneurs that you've just heard about have certainly proven many myths about aging are false, but we don't have to excel as they have to bust those myths ourselves. We can all age strong. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Squeak.